Okay, Perek Lamed Aleph Pasuk Chavtes. Eov is continuing to declare his innocence, to declare his righteousness. He has not done a single Avera, and therefore he's not deserving of suffering. And we've gone through a number of psukim, different ideas he has expressed, and now Pasuk Chavtes, he continues, Im Esmach V'Fid Misan'i. Did I ever rejoice over the fid, over the churban, the destruction of my enemy? In other words, bin fol oivecha al tismach. Pasuk in the Torah, don't rejoice on it. Pasuk in Mishnah, bin fol oivecha al tismach. When your enemy falls, don't take delight, don't rejoice. And here Eve is saying exactly the same thing in different words. Fid means churban, means destruction. We have this word a few times. If you look over here in the Mitzudot Sion, the fid in yonu k'moy id. Okay, the aleph and the pei. Okay, that's not so uncommon. Interchange the aleph and the pei can be interchanged like eid. We had many times aleph yudalid is the eid yalim in aretz. Eid means a cloud of destruction. It's a word that uses for destruction. So here we have in pid, we interchange off of the ayin. And did I ever rejoice over the churban misanai that came upon an enemy? I don't have any examples to cite, but I believe it is at least not so uncommon. Okay, I don't have anything to. I've heard Aleph and the Pei are definitely, there is a relationship between these two letters. Okay, so we have Pid is Kmoyfid Misani, the His Irarity Ki Mitzao Ra. Was I ever aroused? His Irarity means to be moving, to be shaken with an excitement. Like a person gets excited, he takes out the newspaper and he sees that his enemy has fallen, he gets all worked up, all excited, wonderful, make a yom tov out of this.
It's called Schadenfreude.
What's it called?
German word.
Get an aliyah and shul.
Well known. Schadenfreude.
Schadenfreude?
Damage.
To rejoice.
Rejoicing when he does damage.
Okay.
I mean, wake up like
his already. Yeah, to wake. But I was awake and I was aroused in simcha. I was awake in simcha when I came in sorrow and when evil came upon my enemy. Let's look at Pasuk of Tesh in the Mitzudos. David in esmach im samachti bavur pit soni. Did I ever rejoice over the destruction of my enemy? V'chi his sorority. The second part of the pasuk was I ever aroused lakum alav to rise up against him l'shalim lo gumul to punish him when he was vulnerable kasher mitzora when my enemy was in a bad position b'choshvi kasher heichel linpol lo yosef lakum in thinking that now that my enemy is vulnerable. Now that he has begun to fall, now is the time when I can take advantage and heap upon him evil. I can use his matzav to my advantage. Did I ever once in my life do such a thing? Never. Rhetorical question. Never. Therefore, I'm a tzaddik. I don't deserve to suffer the way I suffer now. Pasuk Chavtes and Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Chavtes, there is no Rashi. Pasuk Lamed. Now he goes on to say further, I never allowed my chikich, is my palate, to sin. Now what does he mean here? Since sin does not mean in the form of eating, normally the chik is normally associated with forbidden foods. But here he's referring to saying harmful words, to curse, to gloat. I never allowed my chikich, I never allowed my palate to sin, observing my enemy in a vulnerable state. By cursing him, or by, as the pasuk concludes, l'shol ve'olo nafsho, to olo means a curse. Nafsho, his soul. L'shol here means to ask. Now this can mean one, it can mean many things. Mitzudah says simply, I would take him to court, and I would ask him to swear, and I would know that due to the situation that he is in, he'll swear falsely. And by swearing falsely, he's going to lose chelik in olam haba. One of the greatest sins is to swear falsely in Hashem's name. So here Eve is saying something very interesting. I could have taken advantage. I know my enemy. My enemy is not has no morals. He's not a person that has any conscious, and he would would have no problem swearing falsely if it would be to his advantage. So I could have done that. I could have went and caused him to sin and thereby aroused Hashem's anger at my enemy, by letting him swear falsely. But being that I know he would swear falsely, and that is a very great sin, I never took advantage to ask him to swear falsely. I never was shoyel, made a request that he should swear to Allah, he should make an oath which would cost him his soul. Because I know he would swear falsely, he doesn't care. I'm a tzaddik. All of these are examples of going lefnim yishur sadin, midas hachasidus, pasuk lamed b'mitzudos, v'loy nasati, rotzalai mar, loy soif hadav v'shloy shalamti lo. Not only did I not punish him, did I not take advantage oz gemul, any punishment, ela filim hoyeli olav ma, even if I had, it was to me upon my enemy a demand of mammon. I did not abandon my palate lachtabo to cause it to sin. How would I cause my palate to sin? And the Mitzvah interprets the second half of the pasuk as an explanation for the first half. Lishol nafsho, to be shoyl of his neshama b'shvua sa'Allah, through an oath. What does that mean? L'man yishbal l'sheker, I would ask him to swear, which would mean he would swear falsely. V'yachti nafsho, by doing so he would forfeit his neshama. He would forfeit his neshama because he would swear falsely. I know that he would not withhold from doing so. Kerashi pasuk lamed v'lmasati lachta l'chigi lahaknit soni, to provoke my enemies v'letovei mamon she'ein li olav, and to be toveya mamon that he does not owe me, kedei lahashpia v'lishol ba'ola nafshay al sonai. So Rashi seems to be saying something a little bit different. Rashi here says, I never went provoked my friend to demand from him money that he does not owe me, so that he would have to swear. And sometimes a person does not want to swear, and then they'll be willing to pay the money instead. So Rashi seems to be saying just the opposite. He's saying, I never took advantage of a situation. There were times when I could have provoked my friend to swear, and my friend maybe would not want to swear, and instead of swearing, he would have to pay. But that would have been illegal, that would have been wrong, because the person does not really owe me any money. But I could have profited from this situation. I never did so. I never took advantage of this situation. One more time. L'haknit the sonai, to provoke my enemy, or the toivei mamon, to demand from him mamon she'ein li olav, which I don't really have a claim to, kedei lehashpiyoi, in order to cause my enemy to swear, v'lishol ba'ol nafsho al sonai, and to be shol with a curse the neshama of my enemies. Okay, I'm not exactly sure what it means.
That's such a great madrega, I mean.
Yeah, I'm not really sure what this means. It means that by my enemy swearing, it's never good to swear. And having my enemy swear, even if my enemy will swear truly, it's not something which is good for the person. But Eof says, being that he is my enemy, I want to cause him harm. When he would swear, even if he would swear truthfully, it's not to his advantage. I therefore did not take advantage of this situation and cause my enemy to swim. Something along those lines. The Mitzvah is much more straightforward. I'm not exactly sure what Rashi means.
Well, if a person swears truthfully,
it's never a good thing. The Gemara talks about even swearing truthfully is not a good thing, because in every Shavua, you're saying Hashem's name. It's never a good thing to swear. So here Eve is saying that I have an enemy, and my enemy, I have a situation where I can provoke him to swear, even though he'll swear truthfully, but it's going to be ma'orer, arouse judgment from heaven upon my enemy, and that would have been to my benefit. But I didn't take advantage because it's not the right thing to do. It's whatever, he's just saying, I did not do anything wrong. Other people in my situation would have done this, but I did not do it. I'm a tzaddik, I don't deserve to suffer. Pasik lamid aleph. Now we go to a new idea. There are different interpretations of what this means. Im lo amru, is it not so that they said, misay ahli, misay means the people, we had this many times. Misay means like misu shelach, Mr. Shelach, misu shoel, Mr. Shoel. So misu means Mr. Misay is the plural of misu, it means people. Misu is one person, and misay is people. So here he says, in lo amu misay.
Misay,
misay, misay, misay means few in number. Mesemit, that means something else. That means something else in that pasuk. Okay, but here means this pasuk means num. It means the people. Im loy amu mesay ali, the people of my tent. Ni yitain mi besaro lo nisba. If we would only be able to eat his flesh, we would not be satisfied.
Whose flesh?
So this is a very difficult pasuk. So let's see the one thing at a time. It's a very, very hard pasuk. Pasuk lamed alf in the mitzvot. So let's see how he translates this. Is it not so that the people of my tent, meaning my family, my servants, if only we can eat his flesh, doesn't say yet whose flesh is, whose flesh, and we can eat, and we'll eat it continuously, until and we won't be satisfied. What do you mean? What does this expression mean, to eat and not be satisfied? It's so delicious. It's so delicious, you always want more. That's the sign of something tastes really good. If they serve you a meal and you're still hungry, when the meal is over, that's a sign. Well, you can't really generalize. But if it's so tasty, you want more. That means it's delicious. Ad ki nachshek lechol, od, we want to eat more. Ki lo oivim hayuli, they were my enemies. Now, who's basar? Who is the basar? So seemingly it means Eov's own basar. It means himself, Eov himself. This is how Rav Schwab explains. I couldn't get a grasp on the Metzudas. I think the Metzudas is saying the same thing as Rav Schwab, is that Eve is about to say that I troubled the members of my household to serve guests, to serve all the people, the homeless people in the street, and they were so busy and so overworked with doing acts of hospitality, they wanted to kill me. I was such a gracious host that I put my household, my slaves and servants to work. What was the work? What work were they doing? They were feeding the poor. They had to work double shifts. They had no menucha. They hated me for this. They hated me because I overworked them in serving the poor people of the land. At kedei kach, they were plotting to kill me, and they were plotting to eat up my flesh, and they couldn't wait until my life was over. Now, this is of course a mashal, because that's also not a good idea. You don't want to exploit your workers, you don't want to overdo your workers. But he means to say here is the degree of chesed that was found in my home was off the charts. And if you would be able to put it in terms of numbers, or take a poll of what's going on in my home, the servants would say we're overworked because 24/7 we're feeding the homeless. So let's read the next pasuk. The next pasuk ties into this pasuk. What does it mean that the people of my tent said, if only they can eat my flesh, and they wouldn't be satisfied, they couldn't wait to devour me. I was an enemy to my people of my own household. Why? Pasuk Lamed explains, could be because bachutz lo yolin ger. I never allowed a stranger to sleep in the street. When a person would arrive from a different village or a different town, he would immediately be brought into my home. Delosai, the doors of my home, lo orach, for the guests, eftach, would be open wide. I would open wide the doors of my home for the people of the street. And therefore, the people of my home, my servants, the Mesaali, were busy 24/7 feeding them and caring for them. Okay, that's how the Pasuk Lamed Beis around the Metzudas explains it. It ties into Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Pasuk Lamed Beis in the Metzudas David, Bachutz, Vehasiba Hoya. What's the cause of the people of my home hating me? Why were the people of my home, do they hate me? Do they want to devour my flesh? Vehasiba Hoya. Because in my village, in my hometown, it never happened that a stranger that came from a foreign land would sleep in the street.
Haba,
I myself would open the doors for the guest that would come. Kiloi hemanti, because I did not kiloi hemanti lemisei ohali. I did not have faith of among the people of my whole household. Shem yachnisu lebayis es kol habo. I didn't trust them. I myself went out into the street to collect the poor people. So the people of my household came to hate me. Okay, I think Mayor is calling me now. No, Mayor said he's going to call me. He called me on Friday, but to put it on, he should listen. But something else. I did not trust them. That's one interpretation. I opened up the gates, the doors to the front to the derech, in order to make it public knowledge, to make it public known that everyone in the street is invited to come and dine with me. Here is where Rashi goes back and explains. Explains the previous pasuk why the people hate me. Uvavur ze rabu kumo rabu. They increased the people. The people increased very much. Kumo rabu anoshim holche oirach. The people increased. People who travel on this path, they increase. Not exactly sure how to translate these words. Uvavur ze rabu kumo rabu. I think it's an expression. They multiplied. Anoshim holche oirach. V'hoya lohem l'toyrach, and it was a very great burden l'hisa's sake to be oisik, to care for these people. U'l'zehoyuli lo'evim, and that's why the people became my enemies. That's why the people of my household were enemies, and they wanted to eat my flesh up. They wanted to eat me alive. Avram, yes, he is. Yes, he is. He does that many times. There are numerous parallels. Well, over here, it doesn't mean here that he's hated. It's just an expression. It doesn't mean literally that the people of his household hated him. They wanted to kill, meet him up a little bit. Because if that would be the case, that's not then you're abusive. You're not. You know, charity starts at home. We all know that. You don't go and you're kind to the whole world and you let your children starve to death. You're torturing the people of your household by feeding all the guests. There were many stories of different Gedolei Yisrael when they invited a guest who sat the head of the table next to the father, the children, right? The little children, they never give up. I remember you go as a guest, someone's home. I was recently a guest somewhere. So the children were like second-class citizens. The children, when they sat at the end of the table and they put the guests, I was part of a group, they put all the guests near the balabayas, you know, all the way front. And I was very disturbed. It depends on the guy. It depends where. Again, they have more freedom, right? They're more free, little kids. But sometimes you go to your guest, someone's home. They put you at the end of the table because the children come first. The children sit next to their father. This is their makom. They have a special place by the father. They're not just abandoned to be second class citizens. So of course, it goes without saying that the Eov did not torture the people of his household and abuse them and exploit their labor. It's an expression. It's just a concept that my graciousness was so much. If my people of my household would have wanted to find problems with me because I'm too kind, I'm overworking them, they could have found problems. But certainly we know that Eve hired extra help and he paid them overtime and he made it worth their while and they were very happy. It's just an expression to express this idea of how gracious he was. Rashi says, come out the same thing. Let's see these two psukim, pasuk lamna, pasuk lamna base, loy nishba, pasuk lamna aleph, mi tein lo nispa. If we would eat his flesh, we would not be satisfied. Mi toch sinna, shahoyu soinim oisi, due to the intense hatred that the people of my household had for me, al shoyisi matricham beachnosas orchim, they hated me, they wanted to eat up my flesh, and they would savor every last bite, knowing that they were devouring me, and I would never torture them again to overwork them and to feed all of these guests. Why? Because the Pasuk Lamed Beis says the reason was because Bachutz lo yolin ger, and the losai, my doors lo oirach eftach, was always wide open to the guests. Hoya de losos beisi peninim umukafim beishar mi Bachutz. The doors of my home, the peninim, the inner doors, and the ones that were umukafin beisha, the ones that were surrounded the gatehouse, mibachutz, o misubin bekarnei zavis, or were positioned by the corner, lahashbes es orchem milavo, to hold back the guests from coming, ela psuchim. Psuchim,
lim derech
lava.
Any which way they came.
So one more time, go back. The doors of my inner home were not.
Psuchim, lim derech.
Go back to the beginning. The beginning of the Rashi. One more time. Lo hayu delosos beisi pinimim. Pinimim umukafim beishar mibachutz o mis. They were not directed. There was no fence around my house. There was nothing holding back people from coming. They were not closed up, but rather elipsuchim le'im derech. They were open wide to the road, lavo accessible. Kol haba, anyone who wanted to come. The gates of my door were wide. They were constructed. There was no gate around my home. It was not constructed in a way where it would hold back people from coming into the home. Adarabba, my gates were wide open in order to allow people to come into the home. I always told you. I always find it so funny. People, you go down the street, you see all these beautiful houses. They build these beautiful houses today on all these in this neighborhood, and they build this beautiful grand entrance, and the people almost never ever use the entrance. They use the side door. So they say, so why do you build the grand entrance? No, for shidduchim. I have a daughter right now, she's 5 years old, but the day will come, you know, when for shidduchim we're going to open up. That's the boy's going to come through the front door. So finally the girls, you know, she goes out, she tells the boy, when you come, you know, you ring the bell, go to the side door. Don't come to the front. I don't want people to see. I don't want people to see him going out. I want you to probably come to the side door. So why then did you build this beautiful entrance in the front door? What was the purpose of the grand central entrance?
Yeah. Italy lived like that. They had the main thing as a museum, and they lived in the basement.
They live in the basement. Mm-hmm. Okay, today people, they live in the basement, they rent out the house. Many people, they buy houses. They build houses. They live. I know at least one person. They built a house in Lakewood, spent a nice amount of money, and the people who built the house, they live in the basement. They live in the basement, and they rent out the house. They rent out the house for a nice amount of money. And I guess the plan is one day they'll move into the house. But in the meantime, they don't need the whole house, so they live in the basement, and they rent out. Okay, let's go for the Imolai. So this is Eve's complaint that he is a very gracious person, like you mentioned before many times. He is equating himself with Avraham Avinu, who we know Avraham Avinu was Pesach on all four sides. There was a gate on all four sides. Anyone that comes should come into the home of Avraham Avinu, and pretty much that's what Eve here is saying. He is saying the same thing. Pasik Lamed Gimel continues. In Kisis, another. This is a new idea. This is an entirely new idea. These next two psukim, they go together. Im ki sisi cha'odam pisha'oi, did I ever cover up my sins? Ein tzadik ba'aretz asher yaseh tov v'lo yachta. It happens. What happens? A person makes a mistake. You slip in life. You make a mistake. You do an avera. But what's the difference between a real tzadik and a person that's a phony? How do you cover up? Do you cover up your sins? And all the big people, all the great politicians that went down, they didn't go down because of their crimes. They all went down because of the cover-up. That's a fact. That's a cover-up. So here he's saying, I sinned. Eve right away says, I sinned. I'm not a tzaddik. I didn't have eros. But the difference is, I never covered up my sins. I was always the first to admit chotasi. Like David HaMelech. Here he's saying, his mamish equating himself to Avram, like David. Im kisisi cheodam pisha'oi, did I ever cover up my transgressions like a human being, like the average human being, litmon, to hide, bichubi, in a hiding place, avoni, there's poetic repetition, avoni is parallel to pisha'oi, and the word chisisi is equivalent to litmon bichubi, to hide in a hiding place. Pasuk lamed aleph, ki erotz hamon rabah. Did I? Now, it's a hard. You have to read really the whole pasuk. But let's just make believe we know the end of the pasuk. Yeah, it's a rhetorical statement. Ki erotz, was I terrified? Erotz means to be terrified. It means, since many words were doing the same thing, it means, was I frightened? Was I frightened by the Hamon Rabbah, by the multitudes, by the newspapers, by the media? Hamon Rabbah means the bloggers, right? The bloggers, when they are revealed to the world, when they reveal to the world your sins, so you're dealing with millions of people. That's the Hamon Rabbah. Was I terrified what people would say, what people would think when they discover that I've committed this Avera? I wasn't. Because I realized making believe and hardening it would be even worse. It's kedai to go through to suffer the bizyonos of having millions of people know that I have done an Avera, because that's the proper thing to do. The proper thing is to confess to your Avera, to live up to your Avera, and to suffer the consequences, instead of making believe you never did anything, which can be a greater sin. Uvuz mishpachos yichiteni. Yichiteni is the same thing as the word erotz, to mean terrify. Was I terrified about the disgrace that would come to my family? Many people today will say it's kedai to go to cover up, to lie, to commit perjury and lie and do everything possible to cover up your sins. Not for me. I'm not doing it for me. I'm doing it for my children. I know it's the booz mishpachos. My family doesn't deserve the bizyonos. It's not right. So he says, no, that wasn't an excuse. My family didn't do anything wrong. I did something wrong. So my family, they'll be the fact that they're related to me, that the people they're going to associate themselves with me. What could I do? It's not an excuse. That at least is what Eve is saying. It's not an excuse to cover up a sin, viewing the problem of the buz mishpachos yichiteni. Did it terrify me? Now when we read the next few words of the pasuk, that explains the first half of the pasuk, because if these things did affect me, the erotz, the terror of public humiliation, and the chites, the terror of the buz mishpachos, then it would have resulted in vo'edom. I would have kept my mouth shut. I would have silenced myself. It doesn't just mean silence. Here it means to cover up. It means to lie and to do things that are criminal, to make believe it never happened, to cook the books, to do things that are criminal, vo'edom, and lo etzei fosach. I would not go out in public. I would not go out in public. I would keep my mouth shut and not let people know that I've done these averos, because I was terrified from the popular, from public opinion, and from the disgrace that would come to my family. But Eve here is saying, I didn't do that. I didn't do that. And therefore, I was not silent. I confessed to my sins. I went out to the public and I let it be known. That's right, I made a mistake. As I did a terrible thing. I have to go for therapy. I have to go do tshuva.
But he didn't have sins.
What?
He had no sins.
He did. He's saying he did have sins. He's talking about the sins. He's talking about.
There's nothing to cover up, I think.
He means the sins that would have resulted. He's saying he from this pasuk seems to be saying he did have sins, but he's saying still in all, I don't deserve the type of degree of suffering that I endure. There are different types of sins. There are sins which are mistakes, which are not so embarrassing to confess, to admit to, but private, terrible things that corruption in life. That would result in me suffering, that he says I don't deserve. And any minor infraction that I'm guilty, I confessed, I admit it. So I've gone through the process of tshuva like anyone else, whatever is expected of man, and I should be forgiven, and there's no need for me to continue suffering. Okay, so these two psukim are very powerful psukim, Pasuk Lamagil, Lamadal, is where he's telling that a person has to live up to his sins and to confess. And by the way, Chazal talked about this, there's a Gemara. The Gemara talks about this, is it proper for a person to confess his sins? And indeed, the Gemara says at times Talmidei Chacham should not openly confess. When a person is caught and then there's no question a person has to confess. But if it's a sin that's between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Gemara says it's a proper for a person to walk around and tell the whole world, guess what? Rabbi Sai, I did an Avera. and everyone should know that I did the Avera, and the Avera didn't cost anyone in the world money, and has nothing to do with anyone but a person. Bin Adam Lamakom Rabbi Sai, one day I woke up late. I normally get up at 6 o'clock, and you know what happened? I woke up at 6:30, and I came in the middle of Pesukei Dezimra. I came. So the person walking out, does that have any effect on anyone else? Well, you say you're a bit influence. You're a bit influence. People come into shul, they see that the rabbi, he came late to Pesukei Dezimra. It's a Chil Hashem. Okay, let's make believe. Let's put that aside. Okay, for right now. It's a sin that's been Adam Lamokam. It's between me and a Kadosh Baruch Hu. No one's business. Is it the proper thing for a person to confess? The Gemara says it's not necessarily a good thing to make it known. In this situation where it's between you and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and revealing this to the world is nothing more than a Chil Hashem. People are going to have a lower opinion of Talmidei Chachamim, and it doesn't have any effect. Then Ashrei Nisui, it's a pasuk. Ashrei Nisui Pesha. Fortunate is a person that covers his sins, does not reveal his sins to the public. In Achinami, on those type of averos which are purely between you and Kodesh Baruch Hu and have no effect on mankind, it's not advisable to go around to the world revealing your sins. But where you are guilty of stealing from people, it's been Adam Lachavero, and as a consequence of confessing by repaying the people that you have harmed, or you should not be in a position of leadership. People that do such things should not be in a people of position of leadership. Then in Achnami, then the Gemara says, then it's the proper thing for a Talmud Chacham to confess. And that is here what Eve is saying concerning those type of sins which a person is obligated, the right thing it is to confess, or he is confronted and he has been caught, and now it's a matter of covering up the sin. Then a person is mechuyev to reveal his sins, and Eve here makes that very clear. I'm not guilty of that in any way at all. Let's see, pasuk lamed beis lamed.
Person confesses to everybody, but goes out and say, "Hey, you know what I did?"
He put an air in the New York Times. Might have an abayisai. Guess what I did? I did this and this and this.
You get it
from the pulpit and you say, "I've done this avera." Obviously, that's not. It all depends on what the sin is. Let's take a look at pasuk lamed.
Person has a rebbe. Should he tell his rebbe?
You can generalize. If you need therapy, you need to guidance what to do. Tshuva. You can't generalize. Every type of aver and every type of person, every type of situation is different. But the Gemara does discuss this idea. I know where the Gemara is. And it's a famous, somehow, maybe it's more brachas, I think. The Gemara does discuss the contradiction from various psukim. There are times when a person should confess publicly, and there are times when a person should not confess. By confessing, if you're doing more harm than good. It all depends on the situation. And here, Eve, obviously, by stating that I did confess, I did not cover up my sins, is discussing a situation where that would have been the proper thing to do. Let's take a look at Pasuk Lamed Gimel Lamed Pasuk Lamed Gimel Lamed Dalad and Mitzudot Stavid Lamed Gimel Kesisi Im Kesisi Pesha. Did I ever cover up my sins? Kederech Shor Bnei Adam Asher Yichasu Peshaom, who cover their sins V'Yichachashu Buchem and deny them Ki Elohim Kor Li Ma Midavar Pesha L'Kichashti Bo. If it ever happened, a situation where a terrible thing happened, it never happened that I committed an aver that I required to confess. I never denied it. Pasig Balit Ma'in Musav Al Im. The word im must be repeated a second time in Pasig Lamed Gimel. Im Kisisi Ka'adam Peshi. You have to read. Im Litmon, did I ever hide? Bichubi, in a hiding place, avoni. The word im is repeated a second time. Musav al im loymar. Ho im ho yedarki li, was ever my derech litmon avoni to conceal my sin? Bimachbui, in a hiding place. Lebal yivoda limi. Vehu kaf al inyan bimilois shaynois. Repetition of the same idea in multiple words. Same idea. Pasuk lamedalit ki eroitz rotz loymar vichi asisi zos. Did I ever do this? Ad sheyavo olai hadover hazeh, asher me'oz, hoya koyach biyadi, la'arotz, u'l'shaber hamoin rav min ho'anashim. Like he's saying something different. He's saying the way I translated the pasuk was where Rav Schwab translated. I jumped the gun. Okay, let's just see this slowly. I'm not sure I have clarity in this. One more time. Pasuk lam down. Such a thing would happen. Asher me'oz, in the past, hoya koyach biyadi, it was my power, la'aroitz u'l'shaber hamoin rav min hu'anoshim. In the past, I had the power to exercise the fear among the people. I was able to shatter, to terrorize, and to break the hamoin rav min hu'anoshim. The atah now, look how the tables have been turned. I have no choice. I have to keep my mouth quiet. And because of my terror from them. Okay, let's take a step back. I translate the pasuk according to how the Rav Schwab explained it. Which, just taking a step back, pasuk lamed aleph is a continuation of pasuk lamed gimel, and it explains why a person would not want to confess his sins, because he's afraid of public opinion. He's afraid of the disgrace that would come to his family, and that's why a person would like to keep his mouth shut and stay at home and hide it out. Rabbi Mitzudas is saying an entirely different interpretation. He's saying over here, he's describing his fate. He's describing that it used to be in the good old days, I had enormous power, and if I wanted to terrorize the people, not that he did so, but if he wanted to issue a curfew, Eev is the mayor of the city. Eev says, I don't want anyone to walk out of their house. I want there to be a curfew in the city, and I would terrorize the Hamoin Rabbah, I can do so. That's how powerful I was. And now, look how the tables have turned. Now I'm such a weakling. I'm such a nothing. Even a beggar, a homeless lowlife, can terrorize me. I have to sit in my house and keep my mouth shut and make believe no one is home and not dare walk out to the front door, because I walk out to the front door, if even a booz mishpachos, a member of the lowest status of society, the lowest part of society, would see me from the booz mishpachos, I would be terrified. I would become now terrified from that person, because they would beat me, they would mock me, and they would take advantage of me. So he's describing here, look how the tables have turned, I've fallen into such a terrible matzav. Just a general complaint. Let's read the words of the Mitzvah Islam Medal one more time. Rotzo Loimar, V'chiyosisi Kozos. Did I ever do an Avera like this? So that's going back also Lamdal, where I've covered up my sins. In other words, if I did cover my sins, if I did do a cover-up on my sins, I would be disgraced. People would find out that I've did an Avera, and I covered it up. I would be disgraced. At Sheyav Aloi HaDover Hazeh, I would be disgraced to such a degree where even the lowlife would mock me. Asher me'oz, in the past, the contrast, it was with my power, la'aroitz, I could shatter, u'l'shaber, and break, hamoin raf, a multitude, min hu'anoshim of society. But now, v'at, now, if it would be true that I would have done an avera, and I would have denied it, and covered it up, now I would be so ashamed, so embarrassed. Viato habozu min hamishpachos, even a lowlife, someone that's from the lowest family of society, would have the power to be mishaber, to break umefachidosi, to terrorize me. Uval karchok, and when they would do this to me, when they would mock me, make leitzanus of me, and harass me, eshtaik, I would have no choice but to keep my mouth shut, the espol, and tolerate the humiliation. And I would not be able to leave the front door because of the fear I would have mimenu from that low life that is making fun of me for covering up my sins. Okay, take a look at Rashi. Rashi pasuk lamed gimel b'chubi b'chubi, just b'machbui, my hiding place. Lamed dalet. Rashi says similarly the same thing as the mitzudos kierots mitchila hayisi machnia hamoin rabo shel rishon. It used to be that Rashi adds in over here the word rishon. Rishoyim. That's not what the Mitzvah says. The Mitzvah says just said simply that it used to be in the past, I had power. I had power, I had the ability to crush the Hamoin Rabbah. Now Rashi says in the past I had the power due to my exalted integrity to point a finger and say to people, how dare you? How dare you behave in such to intimidate people by using my moral authority. I would say I'm better than you, I'm an honest person, I'm a great person, how dare you people rob and harm other people. But now I'm the criminal, and I'm the criminal, even the criminals mock me. I used to be machnia to humiliate the Hamoin Rabbah Shel Rishoyim. The Atah, he brings a pasuk about in Yeshaya, the Atah Af Bein Kastim, among the Kastim, Zeha Om Lo Hoya. This is a pasuk in Yeshaya, talks about the Kastim were the most mighty. Yeshaya described they were at this point in time were the Nebuchadnezzar will rise to power. He's predicting Nebuchadnezzar will rise to power, the Kastim, and they will dominate the world. And Yeshaya is mocking them. Look at these people. They're not even a real nation. They're nothings. They're a people, Ha'om Lohoya. They're not a real nation. They're just like immigrants. These are people that were put on an island for construction purposes. They were slaves. They were an Am Lohoya. They were a non-entity. And now, look what happened. They rose to world dominance, to power, to the degree where they're going to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. So he's using this pasuk in Yeshaya as a mashal concerning what's happened to him. I, with my moral authority, can look down at society and tell people, how dare you? How dare you do an Avera? And now the tables have turned, and people who don't even exist, people who are like the Kastim, who are not a real nation, not entity, people who are not entities now are able to go and point their finger at me and say, how dare you, Eof? What kind of moral authority, what kind of low life are you? Well, look, what kind of crime have you done? Eve is saying, this never happened to me. You know why this never happened to me? Because I'm a tzaddik. I'm a tzaddik, I don't deserve this. It's all part of his describing his situation. I'll give you a mashal. I once heard about a very, very rich man. He's no longer very rich. He's now in jail. He's now locked up. And I don't know if it's true. That's why I don't want to say who the name of the person is, because I really doubt it's true. But even if it's not true, the expression is very good. This person used to be a very rich person. And the schnorris that came to him, like, nonstop. Every second there was another collector. And he once went to a parlor reading in Lakewood. In Lakewood, Ir HaKodesh. And he said to them, you people here may be able to teach me how to learn a Daf Gemara, but I can teach you integrity. He was telling people, you're all a bunch of crooks. You're good, you know how to learn, but you're a bunch of crooks. So it turned out that this person was discovered to be a bigger crook than all the people in Lakewood put together. And they locked him away. Okay, who the person is, you can probably guess who the person is. I don't want to say his name because I don't know if it's really true. I heard the story. Alright, it's just a story, but but here, that's what over here Eve is saying. That's what they were saying. Here he's looking down with this moral stick. You're a bunch of crooks. You're a bunch of crooks. I was able to intimidate the Hamoinan, the multitudes, by telling them, look at me, look how great I am, and look at you, look, what kind of business is this? Now I've been discovered that I'm a fraud. And now that I'm a fraud, I'm sitting in a prison, I'm eating animal food in a prison somewhere, all locked away in a teeny little cell. Now the whole world is looking at me and they're mocking me. Even a lowlife, a non-entity, is able to point a finger at me and say, look at you, look what you have done, look at the crimes you've committed, look how much harm and pain you've caused other people. So that's what Eve is saying. If indeed it's true that I did cover up my sins, than in a chenami. What used to be me, the great holy person, Eof, looking down at everyone else, I would be deserving that other people should now look at me and make litzanus of me. But guess what? I didn't. I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. I don't deserve it. And in essence, that's what's happened to me now. As he described in the previous psukim, he describes that all these low lives, these non-entities, he said this in the previous parakim, and even this parak, he mentioned this, is that they mock me. When they see me, they make litzanus of me. The only reason why you're suffering here must be because you've done something horrible and you really deserve it. Okay, let's go to the next pasuk. Pasuk Yud Lamed Hey. This is a theme which we've had already so many times, where basically he's demanding a Kadosh Baruch Hu should come to judgment. Many times, probably the most common theme that Eof expresses, that he demands justice, he demands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can be taken to a Din Torah, to be a judge, an outsider, and the outsider shall judge between Eof and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Mi yiten li, if only it can be, Shamea li, Hashem would listen to me. Hen, behold, Tavi, my mark. This is a very unusual word. Tav means, Ramsudas here says, my desire. Rav Shrav has different interpretation. Ramsudas says, Kamo Taviv, Humuloshon Ta'ava. Okay, I take it back. Tavi, the Mitzuda says, my desire, Vitechaser Ha'alif, make believe the Aleph is missing, Ta'ava. Ta'ava has an Aleph. There is no Aleph. So the Aleph is silent, so it's missing. V'chein Targum Yainasan, Reguge, it means my desires. So really, Lashon of like emotions. V'chein Kaz, V'chein, V'chmochein, Lo Tisaveh, Targum Unkelis, Lo Tirog. Don't desire. In the Aseres Hadiros, there's a prohibition of don't desire the Isha Sachicha, don't desire all Lo Sachmo, Lo Tisaveh, don't desire the Isha Sachicha, the possession of your brethren. And there the word Ta'ava is used, Lo Sachman and Lo Sa'ave, there are two words used in the Aseret HaDibros, and the Targum Unkelis there is Lo Tirog. It's Tirog, so here that's similar. He wants to say, even though there's a Resh Negimbal, here there's no Resh Negimbal, he does want to say that it is similar, it means to desire. So he's saying over here, Hen Ta'avi, it is my desire, Shaka Yaneni, it is my desire that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should answer me. The Sefer Kosav Ishrivi, it is my desire, you have to add that into the Pasuk, or me that a book be written with Ishrivi, with the man who I quarrel with, meaning let all of my complaints, all of my sins, my merits and my sins be written in a book and be presented to the person that is quarreling with me, so he can see if I'm really guilty of doing anything wrong. Let's see the mitzvahs inside, then we'll discuss another interpretation. Pasuk lamidal lamid hay in the mitzvahs mi yitain li ish. If only I can be given an ish, meaning a judge. Asha yishma elai, that will listen to me. Lamalos tishukasi, that will fulfill my desire. Kihein ta'avasi, what is my desire? What is my desire? It is my desire, asher shakai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu ya'anel li, will answer me, will respond to me, what I did wrong. Loi ma'ma pishi, what have I done wrong? Why are you, Hashem, bringing upon me this suffering? Uchamasha'omar lemalo, like he said this multiple times in the previous parakim, adabe, may I have the opportunity to speak, v'hashiveni, and you, Hashem, will respond. I will present my complaint against you, Hashem, in a court of law, and you will respond. Kamo li avaynos, what exactly have I done? Oh, she'ish rivi, now what's the second part of the pasuk? Oh, second part of the pasuk is another theme. Oh, she'ish rivi, hamis vakeach imadi, the man that is quarreling with me. In other words, here he's describing Kadosh Baruch Hu as an ish. Okay, that's how you have to interpret this according to the Mitzudos. Hashem sometimes is called an ish. Hashem gibor, Hashem ish milchama. Okay, so that's seemingly how the Mitzudos is translating that. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in writing his complaint against me. If he doesn't want to speak to me directly, let at least, oh, sheish rivi, the man that is quarreling with me, hamisvakeach imadi, yichtoiv b'sefer kol divarai, v'yach shalright kol shall write in the book all called divrei vichucho. The person that's quarreling should write all divrei vichucho, all of his words of complaint. His words. The words of his complaint. Leman yamdu yomim rabim, so that it should be preserved for posterity. Viavchonu dor acharon hadin imi, and let the world judge. Let the world judge. The whole world should see what Hashem has done to me, and let Hashem write his complaint, let Hashem record all of the sins I have committed, and let the world judge who was right. And this can go on, this debate can go on for all of time. Chamash Amar Lamala, like he said this in the previous parakim, Meyitein b'sefer v'yechukuf, only in a book it can be etched. It can be etched in a book, the words of complaint that Hashem has against me, and it can be presented to a judge to judiciate. And if there's not going to be a judge, then at least let mankind serve as judge. Let all humanity, for all future generations, look at Hashem's complaint, look at what has happened to me, and let them decide who is right and who is wrong. It's a pretty powerful statement here. Eve is saying very powerful complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So read the pasuk again one more time. How is that to say this? What?
It says, Hatsur,
that is the entire Sefer Iyot. That is exactly what the question is. That's hit it on the nose. Hatsur, Tam, and Polok, Yichol, Durchav, Mishpat. So Iyot is saying, it's not fair.
Let's see
inside the pasuk one more time. Mi yiten li, at least according to tradition, this mi yiten li shamei ali, if only I can be granted an audience. I can be granted a judge that will listen to me and listen to my complaint. Hen tavi, it is my desire. Why do I want a person to listen to my complaint? Because it is my desire that shadkai yaneni, that Hashem will answer me. The person that's going to listen to my complaint will go to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and present my complaint to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer me. Period. And if that cannot be granted, then instead, or in place, I would at least like... Now you have to add the word mi'itenli a second time. Make believe the word mi'itenli appears again. Mi'itenli, if only I can have it, can be the sefer kosav ishrivi. Let at least the ishrivi, the man that's quarreling with me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, should at least put into a sefer, the ksav, the writing of his complaint against me, and present it, and let the world read it, and let the world decide if Hashem is right for what he has done to me. Now let's look at Rashi. Rashi Pasuk Lamed Hey. Hein, Tehein, Tavi. The Mitzudas translated, my desire. Shaka Yanin, if only HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer me. Ulvai. Well, it means, if only, Sheyoid Olai Hamokoim Bidin. Only Shaka Yanin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will answer me in judgment. Kemasha Omar. Kimash Sheomar Olai Ki Ein Kamohu Ba'aretz, like what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said about me in the beginning of Sefer Iyov. What did Hashem say about Iyov in the beginning? Ki Ein Kamohu Ba'aretz Tam V'yashar V'yirei Elokim. Hashem said about me beautiful things. I'm a Tam, a Yashar. There's no one like me in the world. Yari Elokim. Gam Moshe Shekosaf Sifro V'Sifri. Moshe, who wrote both the Sefer Torah and also wrote Sefer Iyof. Yoyed Olai. He would testify about me. Kain Hoya Iyof Oimer. So would Iyof say. Tino Litavas Osi. Put Litavas, O Sil, Litavas means my mark. My mark, V'yes Kishroi, and my fitness. Shaka Yaneni Livakosha Zos. Next was a Rashi, V'kosav, V'sefer Ksav Ishrivi, Yichlev Gamhu Sifro. Now, from the beginning of the parish of the Rashi, Rashi is not clear. Rashi is vacillating; it's going back and forth. But from the beginning of the pasuk, it seems that Rashi is learning the pasuk a little differently. Miyiten shomeli hein tavi. Tavi means, if only HaKadosh Baruch Hu will say about me, Yaneni, like he said about me in the past. Now, tovi doesn't only mean my desire. That's how the Mitsudos translated tovi. Tovi also means a mark. We have a pasuk. Hashem wrote a tov on the forehead of a Kayin.
Right.
Right. There's a pasuk. There's a mark on Kayin. There's also a pasuk in Yecheskel or Yirmiyah, where you should go write a mark on the foreheads of all the people that are going to live, and make a mark on the people that are meant to die. The word tov means a mark. So here Eve is saying that my mark is my innocence, my righteousness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the past has made it known to the world my righteousness by declaring that I'm a Tama Yashem Yirei Elokim Ein Kamoni B'chol Aretz. I'm asking Hashem to do that once again. And by doing that once again, I will be declared innocent, and all of these people who are witnessing my suffering will be silenced. Because they all continuously say, the reason why you're suffering is because you have sinned. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu will once again make it known to the world, my mark, I've scored an A, like a mark, like you go to school, my record, right? My record. So Tavi would be my record. My record, that's a better word in this context. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu will declare to the world my record, my mark, my record, then people will stop accusing me of doing Averos. That is my desire. Not like what it says in the Mitzudos, who's telling us, if only we could have a Din Torah. We already had that theme already a million times. We need some new idea. Rashi is very good, because Rashi over here is expressing a new idea that we have not had. Hashem in the past, didn't you say that I'm a tzaddik, I'm a yashar, ve'in kamo b'chol aretz? Why don't you make that statement again? And everyone who may will run away, they'll stop harassing me.
Yeah, now they post grades on bulletin boards and school. They post
the grade, exactly. Post the grade, make it known, and people will leave me alone. They'll stop harassing me. Well, everything is prophecy. All the words of Eve, maybe he did. Everything, Eve is not your average guy walking in Avenue J. Eve is a very holy person, a very spiritual person. V'sefer kos avishu. So seemingly Rashi in the beginning of Rashi, before Rashi changes to a second interpretation, and the second Dibur HaMaskel, and these Rashi are very, very mysterious. Ish, who's the Ish? Moshe. V'ho Ish, Moshe, Onov Ma'od, Mikol Ha'odah. Moshe is called the Ish. You have any Midrashim which describe Moshe as the Ish. So seemingly, the Sefer Kosav, the Sefer that was written, Ish, Revi, who's the Revi? Moshe. Revi doesn't mean the man that quarrels with me. It means my contemporary. A contemporary is called a Revi. You're competing. A person is Meskane B'chol Adam. My rival. Moshe is my rival. Why is Moshe my rival? I don't. He's a contemporary. Anyone that's your contemporary, you call your rival. We're in the same business. We're in the same business of bringing the ways of Hashem to the world. Moshe brought the Torah to the world. He revealed Hashem's ways. I'm also doing Hashem's work. I'm also doing holy work. I'm revealing HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the world. People are observing my conduct, that I'm teaching the world. So Moshe is called my contemporary, my Ish Revi. And what did Moshe write about me? Moshe said about me, doesn't say what he should say. Moshe should testify that I'm a tzaddik. If Moshe Rabbeinu will come forward and testify to the world, get up on the world stage and make it known that Eiv is a tzaddik, he has not done any avera, then the world will listen. They will take Moshe seriously and they'll stop harassing me and they'll stop saying these terrible things about me.
Moshe already said, he's the author of.
Of Sefer Eiv. So he also wrote those words that, but Moshe, that could be Moshe is just recording what the Malachim said. Hashem said in Shemayim, okay,
Nechanami. So he's looking for the character reference.
Oh, excellent. He's looking for his reputation to be repaired. I want my reputation to be repaired. I want Google to strike from all the search listings, all those bad. Right? There are services. They're not worth one penny. There's nothing they can do for you. What?
Eiv was putting himself on the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu.
He's not putting himself, but he's calling him here in this way from Rashi. From Rashi, he's calling Moshe Rabbeinu Ish Rivi, the man who I quarrel with. Now, what does it mean? It's not to be taken literally. Eov doesn't have any fight with Moshe Rabbeinu. He has no quarrel, no dispute. But the word revi is an expression that's used to describe a contemporary. It means to describe someone in the same business. I work in the business. I'm a computer programmer. So every other computer programmer out there in the world is called the Ish Revi. I'm a lawyer. Every lawyer in the world is an Ish Revi. I'm a Rosh Hashiva. Every other Rosh Hashiva is Ish Revi. We're competing for the same funds. What?
In the case of a lawyer, that really does our life.
Why a lawyer more?
Okay,
they're arguing against each other, but let's say you're on the same side. You're on the same. Every politician, right? That makes sense. Every other politician in the world is my Ish Revi. We all want the same job. We're all trying to become the president of the United States. That's right. All roads lead to one place. Everyone's trying to get to this. They're all trying to get to the same place. So it's an expression. It's an expression which means my contemporary. So again, reading the parts according to this interpretation, we're doing two major things. Number two, we're deviating from the Mitzvot in two major ways. Number one, we're translating the word Tavi not as desire, Tava. We're translating Tavi as my mark, my line. Hashem said to Cain, I'm going to put a mark, a tov. I'm going to write a tov on your forehead as an indication that to all the animals should stay away, should not kill you. So that's number one. Number two, when Eov over here is not coming to demand a day in court, he's coming to demand vindication. He's coming to demand that the Kadosh Baruch Hu should reveal his righteousness to the world. And he's saying, Shakaya Neini should speak up and let the world know I'm a tzaddik. V'sefer kosav ishrivi, and let the sefer that was written by the ishrivi, the book that's written, let a book be written by Moshe Rabbeinu, who is the Ish Revi. It's much better than the other interpretation, Mitzudas, that says Ish Revi means Hashem. We're calling Hashem an Ish, but in this interpretation we're calling Moshe the Ish Revi. Let him seemingly write a book. Let him write, maybe the book that we're referring to is Sefer Eov.
Actually, it's a past tense, the Sefer Kosa Ish Revi.
The Sefer that was written by Ish Revi. That maybe means that this book itself, right. This book itself that was written, which hidden in this book is testimony that I indeed am a tzaddik. We have not yet come to the end. That's really what the end is. The end is that Eov is a tzaddik. Eov does not deserve this suffering, and why he suffers is that's not for us to understand. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's something called Yisurim, which a human being does not have understanding of. How these things work. So let the sefer that was written by the Ish Revi stand as testimony that indeed I am a tzaddik, and Mimela, all of these people here in the audience should just go home and leave me alone and stop harassing me. Okay, that's the Rashi's first interpretation. But then Rashi, when he goes to the Dibur Hamaschil, again, he seems to going backtracking. He seems as Shaka Yaneni, Lebakosha Zos, Mekadosh Baruch Hu, answer me this request, whatever the request is, V'sefer Kosav Yishrivi, Yichlev Gamhu, Sifro, let this individual write, seem like Kadosh Baruch Hu should write his book, Litzvakech Imi, to quarrel with me. It would seem that from the Rashi's second, when Rashi repeats the Dibur Hamaschil, he's referring to this similar interpretation as the Mitzudos David.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I'm waiting about 10 minutes from New York City Fire Department. Who do I speak to here?
He was just here. Phil Freeman. I'm sorry, I known you were here, we would have right away. I didn't know you were standing here. I'm sorry. We did not see that you're here. My back is to you. I'm sorry. I see.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Doctor.
Phil Friedman.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So this. Okay, so this is okay, so we'll stop here. Pasuk Lamed Vav, we'll stop here.